Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other stuff just happens to pop into our heads. Just a quick reminder, this is an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm here today with my co-host, Austin.
Damn, we chased off Jacob really fast.
I know. He was like, fuck all y'all. I'm never coming on this podcast again. It was a sad breakup. Just kidding. Jacob, apparently his excuse today was he had to go be a dad.
His excuse today.
Apparently the youngster is having a little bit of a toddler. Well, I guess, could you even consider her to be a toddler at this stage? Or is she still like a newborn?
She's newborn.
Newborn. Okay. I don't know babies. I'm so sorry.
Clearly not.
She's having a newborn kind of day, which, to be honest, I have that sort of empathy. I feel like today is one of those days.
It's kind of dreary outside.
It's dreary. I'm really tired. My eye hurts. I found a bug in my apartment. I swept and then I spilled stuff all over the floor. So that was a disaster.
I'm not having a great day either. I couldn't get to sleep last night. I was up till like 5 a.m. for no reason.
Just inexplicable.
And my foot is haunted.
Your foot is haunted?
I'm sitting here on the mattress in the guest bedroom. I swear to God, every so often, the area of the mattress by my foot has like a lurching sensation. Like there's something going on in the springs of the mattress. And it feels like I'm being haunted.
Okay, there's several scenarios. One, your foot is having a tremor.
No.
Two, some rodent or something is living in your mattress.
But it's rhythmic and it happens like on a steady beat.
So it's a ghost.
It's the weirdest thing.
I have to come over. We have to do like a seance or something.
Yeah, we probably should.
I don't know. I say that, but then I'm scared because Austin always is trying to pressure me into doing a Ouija board. And I'm like, please, I can't. I don't want to be cursed forever.
Everyone is too chicken shit to do it with me.
Because that's how you invite the demons in.
Demons aren't real.
How do you know?
Well, I guess I don't know since there's one hanging out by my foot under the mattress.
No. See, that's the thing. I'm always afraid. I'm like, if there was ever a inkling of a presence, I would be so afraid. I'd be like trying to be its friend because I just wouldn't want it to turn on me and like possess me or something. Like, maybe you should be nice to the spirit, Austin.
The spirit that makes a slight vibration near my foot in the mattress for no apparent reason.
Maybe it's into feet. What else has been going on, Austin?
It's like clockwork. There's something going on in this mattress.
Are you sure it's not just like shockwaves from like you moving and it's like going down to the end of the bed?
I'm not sure of anything at this time.
Or, okay, so this is really weird, but in my apartment, because the construction is shoddy, you would think that living on the top floor, which I do, would make it so that I'm immune to like hearing my neighbors at all because there's like nobody above me. But you'd be surprised to know that the downstairs neighbors, when they walk heavily, it actually shakes the floor joists and you can feel the vibrations in the floor. Like when I'm sitting on the couch.
Yeah, I was sitting on your couch and I started moving and I'm like, what's happening?
And I was like, oh, don't worry about that. It's just the neighbors.
No, I think it's a ghost that followed me home.
From where?
Your apartment.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I figured it out.
What is it?
Okay, so my week.
Okay.
Pokemon Sleep. I have been a somewhat loyal player of Pokemon Sleep ever since it came out. So much to the point where I bought the Pokemon Go Plus Plus accessory.
Plus Plus.
And I've used it this entire time. It's been like, what, a year?
You haven't used it in a year?
No, I have used it during that time.
Oh, you've used it for about a year.
Okay. Yeah, unless I had like, you know, something going on. I didn't have time to be bothered.
Mm-hmm.
But Pokemon Go Plus Plus, I took 1 week off and I came back to it and now it was like not working right. Like, it doesn't connect with the phone, and it can't even, like, do its basic functions. And instead, what it does is it will, like, rhythmically vibrate every so often.
So did it vibrate itself down to your foot?
What happened was, I was trying to use it earlier this week, and it wasn't working. I got so frustrated that I tried to, like, put it on the counter to get rid of it. And it went bzz, bzz, bzz every so often, and it drove me insane. So I picked it up, and I basically threw it into the guest bedroom to get rid of it. And I forgot it was here. So now it's vibrating at me on the bed.
How very dare you, Austin? You need to get back into it and become chained to the Pokemon Go Plus.
It doesn't work. That's why I stopped. It just does. It literally is broken. Like, I factory reset it and it's still not working.
And how much did you spend on this item?
Don't ask me that question if you don't want to know the answer.
Mission accomplished, I guess. They got your money and now it doesn't work, so.
Typical. I hate Pokemon.
Oh, speaking of Pokemon, we do have a Pokemon-related event that we're going to soonish.
We're doing trivia.
I'm so excited for it. I know, Austin got an alert and he's like, for a local bar trivia night, and it happens to be Pokemon themed. So that's in the next couple weeks. So we'll try our best to do well.
Yeah, wish us luck.
And report back. Yeah.
Our team name will be Out of the Drying Pan.
Oh my God. Is this going to be our like way that we advertise ourselves?
Yes.
Out of the Drying Pan is going to represent Out of the Drying Pan at the trivia. And if we don't do well, I'm shamed.
We will not do well.
If we're Pokemon fans worth our salt, we have to do somewhat well. I would settle for like middle of the road.
Okay, I can do middle of the road.
Because last time we did general like quote unquote geek trivia, which was just like an assortment of random questions that like none of us knew the answer to anything.
No.
It was really hard. I wonder if that same guy, the notorious guy who's like known for the hard questions.
It'll be him.
I wonder if he's going to be there.
It's going to be him.
What kind of hard Pokemon questions do you think he'll ask?
I'll never forget when I got second place on X-Men trivia.
It was the greatest shame of Austin's life.
Oh my God.
Speaking of X-Men, we did something X-Men related yesterday.
We've been doing something X-Men related for the past 2 months.
I know, and it's all been worth it, don't you think?
Okay.
I say that having not retained any of the movies.
That's why it's not worth it. Alex does not retain information. It goes in one ear and out the other. I compared her to a child at Disneyland, like a young child at Disneyland, who enjoys it while they're there and then won't remember it at all.
Is that so wrong? I mean,
no,
I enjoy it
no.
in the moment and it brings me happiness for that moment. And then I have to move on. Like,
and then you ask me questions.
So Austin is like, he's very much into the comics. He's a big fan. He reads all the material. You have so much more of a foundational understanding of this than I do. I've just watched the movies, so I have a very limited understanding.
Yeah, that's fair.
You have all the context of, like, the Earth 616 and the Earth 10005, and that doesn't mean anything to me.
Well, the problem is the movies are so different, and you expect me to have answers to things I couldn't possibly know.
Maybe I should stop talking about this. So we did see the Deadpool and Wolverine movie yesterday, which I would talk about it more, but I don't want to spoil anything, considering it just came out. So I guess we'll save that discussion for a later date. I will say, though, that I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a good movie, in my opinion.
It was my least favorite Deadpool movie.
Oh my gosh. I have the complete opposite opinion. It was my most favorite
Deadpool movie. Oh, that's so interesting. We always do this.
Why was it your least favorite?
I can't talk about spoilers. Okay, I will talk about a little bit, just briefly.
Okay, spoiler warning. Fast forward if you don't want to know.
I think viewers know, at one point in the recent past, Alex said, I want to watch all the X-Men stuff.
That's right.
So, so we watched Legion, we watched every movie, we watched Gifted.
Which was not as bad as Austin made it out to be. I actually really enjoyed that show.
We did not watch The New Mutants, because Alex hates that movie.
Okay. I saw it one time at a drive-in theater, which you can't really get a good optimal viewing experience at a drive-in movie theater, but I remember being upset about the direction that they took in that movie. I can't remember why. I just remember that I had very strong opinions about it, but we didn't have time. We were up against the wire and we didn't have time to finish it, so.
Because we had to watch every episode of The Gifted, so we really were slammed at the end there.
We did like 4 or 5 episodes a day. Like, yeah. We tried to really power through that.
So basically the last two movies we watched were Logan and Deadpool 2 before going to see Deadpool and Wolverine. So like we were really in like a Deadpool and Wolverine mindset going into it.
I liked all the callbacks.
We had just watched all the Deadpool movies, which I don't think I've seen those since they like even came out. I don't know. The first movie was the best one. I thought it had the best through line, if that makes sense.
Well, it's an origin story.
Right.
So
well, that's the problem with superhero movies. I'm not a huge fan of Deadpool 2, but it still had, you know, a plot. Deadpool and Wolverine's plot was very thin, I'll say that.
It was more of a buddy comedy.
Right.
I mean, it did have a vague semblance of a plot, and to be honest with you, okay, I will say that Deadpool and Deadpool 2 were easier to follow for the average, like, layperson like me, who doesn't know much about the comics or the alternate versions of Wolverine or any of that stuff. This one, like, had some characters in it I would be completely unfamiliar with if I didn't read the comic. Like, these are characters that did not show up in any of the other X-Men movies. any of the Deadpool movies. Like, there was one particular character that showed up, and I was like, who the fuck is that?
I wrote a name in the comments.
Yes.
That
spoiler
character.
Spoiler alert. Fast forward ahead if you don't want to hear. The character was Cassandra Nova.
And you were like, what the fuck?
I was like, what the fuck? Like, this character, I turned to Austin, like, during the movie, and I'm like, what? Question mark. And of course, he's like, psh, fucking watch the movie.
We're watching the movie.
I know. I wasn't going to disturb you because I knew you hadn't watched this one. So it wasn't like I could ask you right there. But this person, this character, like, you literally would not know them if you didn't know anything about the comics.
It wasn't the most accurate adaptation I've ever seen.
Of that character?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't know. I would know a difference. Surprisingly, I will say that, surprisingly, there was a lot of the plot had to do with one of the MCU television series, which I was shocked by. And I hadn't seen that series in, like, 3 years, so I was like, there's no fucking way I would have remembered any of this. Like, did you know that that was how it was going to go? Like,
this was all in the trailer, yeah.
Oh, I didn't watch any of the trailers.
Well, that's fair. I don't think trailers should be required before you watch a movie.
No. Okay, I know, Austin, you said you had spoiled yourself on some cameos. So, was it a huge spoiler, those cameos? Or was it, like, when you got to them in the movie, was it just like, oh, okay?
One was a spoiler.
Okay. I won't say anything.
Okay, all right. It's impossible to discuss this.
I know. We can't really say anything without dancing around it. So maybe we'll revisit this. Maybe not. But overall, I enjoyed it. I wonder if Wolverine is going to come back in any capacity. They kept joking about that. The movie was funny. Oh my gosh. I will say I really loved Matthew McFadden in that movie.
Who is Matthew McFadden? I've never even seen him before.
Mr. Darcy. Excuse me. What the fuck?
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Now I get it.
Now there's a Pride and Prejudice connection.
That's why you gasped when he came on screen.
I know. That's why I was like hitting your arm. I was like, oh my God.
I was like, it's some white guy.
All right. Anyway. So yeah, we watched that. It was really fun. Okay. Anything else going on, Austin?
Nope.
No, not at all.
I'm looking at Matthew McFadden on Wikipedia.
Yeah, he's the best ever.
Isn't a lot I'm of stuff sure. I have not watched.
Pride and Prejudice.
I've seen that.
Some other stuff.
A lot of British stuff.
Well, he is British.
Shout out to our British listeners. Hey.
If any of y'all exist, hey.
I know for a fact they do.
Ooh, hello from across the pond then.
Hello.
Oh my God. Oh, and the other thing is I've been absolutely obsessed with Supermarket Sweep. Because Austin Austin ruined my life.
Supermarket Sweep is the most addicting show in the world. I don't know what it is.
It is. I've just had it on nonstop. And it's the 90s version. Apparently there was a 60s version, which I had no idea.
I've never knew that.
You never knew that with all your obsession over Supermarket Sweep?
I've not researched Supermarket Sweep.
Okay, apparently there was an original version in the 60s, which I don't have context for. I have no idea. Then it came back in the 90s, which is the version I think we're all familiar with David Ruprecht or whatever the host's name is. And then I think they brought it back. Was it with Leslie Jones?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, it is the most addicting thing in the world. And I will say it made me very nostalgic for the 90s. It's that same vibe as like, do you like ice cream sundaes?
That's the vibe.
Yeah, like the buffet guy. And, like, everybody's wearing, like, floral print, and their hair is, like, so 90s.
I have one thing to say.
What?
All right. You can see our Digimon episode for more on that discussion.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, it's, like, a meme video where some guy... It's, like, an instructional training video on how to be, like, a ham carver at a family-style buffet. I guess if that's all, Austin, we can move on to our exciting episodes for this week. I was halfway prepared going into this because, as we all know, last week I screwed up epically and watched the wrong episode. So this week we have an exciting adventure and hatching a plan. Did I get that right, Austin?
Yes, you did.
Please, God. Okay, thank you. I was so worried for a second. So yeah, I watched Exciting Adventure a week ago, So I hope I don't get this one to summarize, but I know that'll be my luck. Do you have the randomizer up?
You know what I don't have is the randomizer.
I should have known better. Every week I think he can do better, but every week I'm proven wrong.
Every week I watch the right episodes and you don't.
That was my one time. That was the one time I accidentally messed up.
You're doing the 30 second. I'm doing the full summary.
I don't remember this. Again, fair warning. I watched this a week ago, so I'm going to really try.
Get ready in 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so the egg that we got from Mr. Shelby, they're wondering what's going to hatch from it. A massive storm starts brewing. Pikachu nearly kills them all. We stop at a Pokemon Center where Team Rocket steals the egg, but it's actually not Team Rocket, it's Togepi. So now we're in a mystery where we try to figure out, and Officer Jenny's like trying to figure out who stole the egg. And it's wacky shenanigans, it's really funny. They end up eventually not accusing Brock and not taking Brock to jail, and find out that it was actually just a Kangaskhan that took it and take care of it. And that is it.
You liked this episode a lot last week.
I did. I love this episode.
It was a fun one. It was gimmicky in that it was a locked room mystery episode, but it wasn't that gimmicky. It was just good old fashioned humor. It felt very season one in a way.
It did feel like very season one. And I know we've talked about this. I don't know whether it was like early on where we ever referenced this or if we just talk about it in our like daily off podcast, whatever. But I know we've talked about this episode.
Yes, we have.
And the Jenny in this episode.
This is Officer Jenny's like finest moment, by which I mean her worst moment, by which I mean her best moment.
Except for Wild Jenny.
That's a long ways away.
It's a long ways away, which will eventually potentially get there, but...
Let's just dive right into it.
Do it.
We are walking along. We are speculating on to what this mysterious egg could be.
Ooh.
There is then a lightning storm. And Pikachu's like, ah, yes, lightning. I can finally live up to my Pokédex descriptions where I go out into the fields during lightning storms and collect it on my tail or whatever.
Is that what they say about Pikachu?
I think that's what it said on Pikachu's base set Pokemon card. I could be wrong.
Sure. Pikachu just loves that sweet, sweet electricity.
Yes. And he's thrilled. And Ash is like, you're going to kill us all. But thankfully, the lightning does not strike Pikachu. It strikes the giant mecha hidden behind some trees that Team Rocket has just received in the mail.
Poor popular Pokemon magazine.
Yes. So thankfully, Team Rocket is mostly immune to electricity compared to the average person. But they get to the Pokemon Center in the middle of the rainstorm, and Joy's like, oh, great, you're here. You're the only people here today.
That's shocking to me.
Well, they're in the middle of literal nowhere.
Yeah, but you'd think if anybody was like passing by, they would be seeking shelter. Maybe they all got killed, sadly.
They all got killed in the extreme Pokemon racing competition.
That is true. We did have that huge explosion at the beginning where like everybody got blown up and like derailed, and we don't see those people again. It was just Ash and Gary, so it's very possible.
I'm trying to think what other things could kill them. The bugs of Ecruteak City,
which I missed out on that episode.
Okay, I sent Alex the link for that episode and she asked me, do I have to watch this? I can't believe you don't want to watch Eucene.
Oh my god, I had a dream last night that somebody else in real life was named Eucene, and I turned... Because I know we had a conversation where it was like, is Eucene even a real name? And I was very proud of myself that I had discovered somebody in my life named Eucene, and I think it was either you or Jacob that I turned to, and I said, see? It's a real name.
You know that podcast was one of our shortest episodes ever because I'm the only one who watched the damn episode.
What about Jacob?
He watched it without the volume on.
That doesn't even... Okay, that doesn't count as watching it.
No, it does not. So that's one of our shortest episodes ever.
How long did it turn out to be? I hadn't watched or listened to it yet.
It turned out to be like 7 minutes.
Total?
No, like a lot. It was not very long.
7 total minutes.
The twerps all they go into their shared room with 2 bunk beds that they always get. And as they do, Team Rocket lurks in, as they do, and they have a brilliant plan involving having Meowth on a fishing pole, walking into the bedroom after they pick the lock, and walking up to where the egg is stored on its cabinet, and having Meowth grab it. But they're so, you know, incompetent that they are unable to do so, because Boba Fett comes in and he's holding an apple, and they're like, look, an apple! So they go running out the door. Through all of this, the twerps are sound asleep, except for Brock, who wakes up in the middle of the night screaming in his dream, and then immediately goes back to sleep.
I feel like there's a lot of anxiety dreaming happening because, if I recall, Brock has a sex dream like he always does.
Yes, he does.
But Ash is also having an anxiety-type nightmare where he's dreaming that he's going to lose the egg because his egg hatches into smaller and smaller eggs until it completely disappears.
Yep.
And he wakes up in a cold sweat panic.
He wakes up in a cold sweat saying, Oh, thankfully eggs just don't disappear. He looks over and the egg has disappeared.
Could you imagine having, like, an anxiety dream about something like that? Like, okay, here's a classic one. Imagine you have one of the teeth falling out dreams. And you wake up in this cold sweat, panic. You're like, oh my God, my teeth. And then you touch your mouth and realize that your tooth has actually fallen out.
Don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. I would assume I'm still dreaming.
That's what I'm saying. Like, imagine reality, like, setting in and realizing, like, what you dreamt was true. Like, that would be terrible. So I completely empathize with Ash in this moment.
Well, Ash's waking nightmare is real, and the egg is gone. So we call the police.
Because that's the typical thing you do right off the bat, right? You don't try to look for it yourself.
This is like the one and only time the twerps are like, oh no, a crime. Let's call the police.
How do they even know a crime has even happened?
The egg is just gone and no one knows where it is. Basically, this episode is like an episode of Columbo. I forgot to mention. How did I forget? So I've been mind wiped. What happened to the egg? Because Team Rocket did not take it.
Thank you for clarifying.
What actually happened was Togepi was the only twerp to wake up while Team Rocket was in there, saw Team Rocket's presence, was delighted and metronomed, and the egg vanished into the night, into the woods outside the Pokemon Center, and a Kangaskhan baby found it, and so the mother Kangaskhan came up and took it away.
Togepi is a menace.
Togepi.
An absolute menace.
Okay, the most important part of this episode is when the twerps were like, what's the egg gonna be? I hope it's happy and cute and healthy. And Togepi was like, pay attention to me. I am the only baby here. Togepi now is like 4 years old and is no longer a baby.
It has that complex though.
Yeah, but Togepi is like, I will not be using my moves in front of other people. I will not have anything happen other than I will sit here and people will take care of me. If it's a Houndoom, if it's Misty, I don't care. I just don't want it to be a new baby around me.
He's got major only child syndrome.
Oh, yes. And will murder an unborn child.
Right? I mean, there's no way that Togepi could have known where, first of all, it would have teleported it to. Two, what would have happened to it once in that position, because it's like, we're very fortunate that an innocent Kangaskhan baby found it and that the mother Kangaskhan was nurturing and maternal and took care of it, but it could have just as easily, like,
eaten it,
been eaten by a predator, been transported to a dangerous location. Like, we don't know.
It knew if Team Rocket took the egg, they would have the egg back within 22 minutes.
We almost witnessed a murder. We witnessed an attempted murder for sure.
Oh, yes, we did.
Maybe a crime. Yeah, they had a feeling that a crime did happen.
Togepi is just an agent of chaos and it is. Pain. It always delights in destruction. It then sits there for the rest of the episode, smiling at itself, by the way.
Yeah.
So this is like an episode of Columbo in that we know who the murderer is before the police come on the scene. We, the audience, know, but they don't know.
Right.
Jenny is here, and she says she's just not any normal Officer Jenny. She's also a Detective Jenny.
Excuse me, a world-class Detective Jenny.
Yes, she is. So basically, the rest of the episode is a farce. Because it's Ash, but mostly Misty, leading this investigation. They're like, maybe we could look here. Maybe, looked at this? Could it be this? And Jenny's like, yes, that's exactly what I was about to say. Through the whole episode. And then she inevitably takes things to the wrong conclusion in over-the-top fashion.
She starts out by calling out Growlithe to sniff Ash's crotch in order to find the egg.
Yes, which is, I mean, accurate. That's what dogs do.
Sniff the crotch.
Mm-hmm.
Ash didn't rub his crotch on the egg. Or maybe he did when we weren't looking.
That's where their strongest scent is your crotch region.
Sure.
Growlithe's crotch smelling does turn out to be successful because it finds the incubator that the egg was in.
That is true, but no sign of the egg.
But no sign of the egg, because the Kangaskhan took it. We do find a bunch of execute. So Jenny comes up with a theory that the execute have stolen the egg and have made it one of their own, which is silly and impossible. It would never happen in a Pikachu short.
Executes aren't eggs anyway. They're seeds, apparently.
Mm. Well, the executes thought Togepi was one of their own one time.
I mean, one has like a broken head. Don't blame it too
much.
Not
in the anime.
Ooh, yes, that's true.
Why is that? That's weird. Anyway,
I don't know.
Executes are not the killers. So we go back inside at Misty's suggestion. And Jenny's like, yes, of course, go back to the scene of the crime. There's always more evidence that we didn't look at before. because Jenny didn't even look at it before.
And she didn't even, like, caution this area off. She didn't dust for fingerprints. The crime scene could have been compromised at this point. We don't know.
Correct. Jenny decides that, yes, it was a locked room mystery. Therefore, the only one who could have possibly taken the egg is one of the twerps themselves.
Because that makes sense.
Because Brock, in a fit of madness, woke up in the middle of the night, jealous over Ash's new egg in Missy's Togepi, and had to dispose of the egg indiscriminately through some unknown means.
Oh my god.
Do you want to talk about this?
Can I? Okay, you know what? This is going to be my quote. Can I just do it early?
Yeah.
Actually, I have other quotes if it comes to that, but I just have to. This is the best part easily of the whole episode. So Jenny is in like full fan fiction mode because that's what she loves to do in her spare time. She claims that Brock's horrible jealousy over being a breeder and being overlooked as the one who is going to care for the egg. He doesn't have an egg. You know, Misty has one. Ash now has an egg to care for. And Brock, just bitter and disgusted by this, turns on his friends in a jealous rage. And then she imitates Brock in a flashback where she's describing the crime. And she says, "Then, the night of the crime, Brock woke up and looked down at Ash, sleeping peacefully while cradling his new egg, and he became more and more unhappy. As Brock climbed down the ladder from his bed, he felt a jealousy unlike any that he'd ever felt before. His mind raced with guilt. I can't do this. I shouldn't do this. But I can't help myself." That was the best part.
That was good delivery.
I can't do it justice.
No. This is an episode you need to watch.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where the voice acting, and again, kudos to the voice actors, because Jenny's imitation of Brock as Jenny, like, amazing.
I believe Jenny's voice actress was Lee Kwik.
Well, shout out to Lee Kwik.
Yeah.
One of my favorite performances in the Pokemon anime.
This is her episode to shine.
Do yourself a favor, listeners, and go watch this episode.
Yes. So, Brock is going to get arrested, because obviously he's the only one who could possibly have taken this egg. Ironically, Jenny is right. It was one of the twerps. It was an inside job.
It was, but how could they know?
But Misty's like, hold up. She and Joy come up with the idea of dusting for prints, which they do via Jenny's jump bluff. And they also point out that there are scratches on the door handle, both to the bedroom and on the exterior door. And all of this combined convinces Jenny that Brock is not the thief slash murderer. Jenny has to knock Ash and Brock down to check their individual footprints. Then Joy and Misty show her their footprints, and they're like, well, who do these other footprints belong to? They walk up about 10 feet down the hallway, and they find Team Rocket's face prints.
Perfect face prints.
Because they fell on the floor like idiots.
Of course.
Team Rocket, meanwhile, is in the kitchen raiding the food supplies.
Oh, can I just go back really quick? Because yep. I have an observation. I was certain we had already seen it, but apparently not. So just to clarify, this is actually the first time, because Ash pulls out his Pokedex when Jenny calls out the jump bluff, which I was like, Ash, you silly Billy. We just saw jump bluff in the Bulbasaur episode. But if we recall, Ash wasn't present for that. There were jump bluffs at the Oak Ranch, but not in the presence of Ash. So this was actually the first time he saw it, and I did not remember that, so I felt very silly.
Did you look it up?
But yes, I looked it up. It was true to continuity that Ash in particular had not seen a jump bluff before, which kind of shocked me, but...
See, look, we don't need to have a whole episode devoted to jump bluff. We can just have jump bluff appear. We don't need to have the jump bluff festival at Jump Bluff Village. And we don't need to have the sad jump bluff that can't fly as high as the other jump bluffs or whatever. We can just have a jump bluff appear and have it be no big deal. Did you hear that, anime? Did you hear that?
I'm glad they did that this time, although I kind of cautiously optimistic that seeing jump bluff now means we don't get a later jump bluff episode. Am I right?
Correct.
Okay, perfect.
At least not that I recall.
If we get a fucking jump bluff festival, I swear to God.
I mean, I like jump bluff, but it's not the most exciting Pokemon.
Well, out of the Hoppip line, I guess it's my favorite.
Hoppip is my favorite. And Skiploom's the worst. Fuck Skiploom.
Skiploom is the worst. Hoppip kind of looks like a Digimon. I'm so sorry.
Team Rocket's in the kitchen. The twerps and Joy and Jenny are trying to get into the kitchen because the footprints lead there. And they can't even open the door even though there's no lock because Team Rocket's holding it closed. But then they do that thing where they push it open suddenly, send everyone flying, and run out the front door. So they are pursued. But before we can get to Team Rocket, a Kangaskhan cuts off our path. And wouldn't you know it, this Kangaskhan has the egg.
Wow.
Togepi curses its luck internally. Jenny comes up with a whole scenario where Team Rocket previously stole the egg, and Kangaskhan bravely fought them off and took it, which is not unreasonable to think.
No.
The two Kangaskhans are like, what the fuck is this lady talking about, though? But then, of course, Team Rocket attacks, as they do, in the balloon. I didn't take any notes on it.
Oh, let's see. Do I have any notes on this? No.
Okay, I took one note, and it's that Growlithe attacks, and the egg falls out of the balloon, and Ash has to run and catch it to stop it from being a scrambled egg on the ground.
I did note that there was an error in what Jesse says as an attack. I don't know if you also caught this.
I did not clock. I don't pay attention when Team Rocket battles are happening.
Oh, okay. She says, Arbok, use fang attack.
Oh, that is a mistake.
Which I'm like, what on earth? I guess they meant bite, but fang attack, I guess.
Fang attack. Well, Arbok's fang attack is for naught, and Team Rocket is blasting off again. Thanks, Officer Jenny, for solving the case. And we can all move on happily to the next episode, all while Togepi smiles at itself. Knowing that it managed to cause some confusion and disrupt the normal flow for one day.
It's a, like you said, it thrives on the chaos and disorder. Maybe it thought that it scrambled it sufficiently to where it would kind of be a dud egg, maybe. It wouldn't hatch or something.
I kind of want Togepi to, like, take a hammer to it. Take Brock's drying pan and just, like, bam! This Smash is it. Your brain. And this is your brain after I fucking kill it! Bam! That's Togepi.
Maybe this would have been too dark for the Pokemon anime, but maybe they could have taken it to where every episode for the next couple episodes, Togepi would have tried to, like, conveniently misplace the egg.
I mean, I would love that.
They'd have awesome. To find it. I mean, of course they could have framed it as like, oh, Togepi's just an innocent little, funny little creature who doesn't know what it's doing, and...
I would say this episode more, this coming episode, more than any other, proves that Togepi is not an innocent creature.
The one that we're about to talk
yeah,
about?
Yeah, in a really roundabout way.
Alright, you're gonna have to elaborate on that, because I didn't know any of Togepi's shenanigans, actually.
Before that, we got MVP, LVP, in quote.
Alright, who's first?
I'm first.
Go for it.
There's a lot of good quotes.
God, there were. This was a good episode.
I'm going to give it to Jenny.
Fuck!
At the very beginning. You already used your quote.
Oh, you're doing quote or MVP?
Quote.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, did I not say that?
No, or if I'm...
You Play did, the tapes back. It. What did I say?
I don't know. We'll find out in a week.
Jenny says, now let's think about that egg. Yes! Ash says, did you think of something? Jenny says, I'm thinking of the important case number we need to have assigned. And now we begin. Number 26 in Detective Jenny's case files. The case of the vanishing egg and the fate of the beautiful Nurse Joy.
Oh my gosh. Oh, you know what? That makes me wish that they had kind of done this in a more, like, noir style.
Like the whole, like, animation style changes?
Yes. Like, could it have gone into, like, black and white flashbacks or something?
In a later season, they probably would have done something like that. But I think at this point, they don't have the budget or time to do that, right?
Okay, that's a good point. If any episode was going to work for something like that, it would have been this.
That's too much effort. Ugh. But I do think, if it was, like, Sun and Moon or something, they would have done that.
Absolutely. I think you're right. We might have lost the four kids. But see, that's the thing. If they had done it in Sun and Moon, it's like maybe they could have done like the whole noir like flashback thing. But I don't think we would have got the witty like.
You know what? I just remembered.
One-liners. What?
There literally is a locked room mystery episode of Sun and Moon with
which one?
With the Rotom Dex playing the role of Columbo.
What was that episode?
I barely remember. He had a crush on. On Locky, the like TV detective, and he had a wig that he wore.
Oh, that's right. Oh.
Spoilers for like season 22 or some shit.
That is true. Okay. I can't believe you remember that for one.
It hit me all of a sudden.
But we don't get it was clever, but we don't get that four kids charm.
Okay. That was my quote. I kind of want to call this podcast episode The Case of the Vanishing Egg and the Fate of the Beautiful Nurse Joy.
That's too long.
I know. It's too long.
So sad.
My MVP, I won't give it to Jenny. I will, however, give it to the Kangaskhan.
Oh, okay.
It saw an egg abandoned, and it was like, I'll take care of it. Kangaskhans do that. They're great. Love them. Pikachu should know all about that.
Oh, yeah.
LVP, I will give it to Togepi for attempted murder.
And he would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for that meddling Jenny. I kind of read a quote earlier, but I have another one. So Brock is having the nightmare. This is when Team Rocket is sneaking in, being very loud, and surprisingly nobody woke up. But Brock, in the throes of his nightmare, screams out, "Stop it! I told you, I've already sworn my love to somebody else." And James says, "The boy appears to be dealing with some issues."
A good James-Brock interaction, even though Brock wasn't aware of it.
My MVP is going to be Jenny.
Do I put her down as Officer Jenny, or is she Detective Jenny?
She's world-class Detective Jenny.
She's her own category. Okay.
I feel like that's only fair. These Jennies that have, like, more screen time and actual, like, defining personality traits are separate, I feel like. They're separate entities. They've evolved beyond the hive mind. My LVP is also going to be Officer Jenny.
World-class Detective Jenny.
World-class Detective Jenny, that's right. Because she very nearly falsely accuses an innocent kid and nearly ruins his life because she was absolutely going to take him to jail, yes.
That's how you know she's a police officer.
That's how you, yeah. And something very terrible happens where Brock becomes convinced after being interrogated and forced into a false confession. He himself is almost very nearly swept up in this ridiculous and is actually coerced into the confession because of the horrible pressure that she puts on him. And she's absolutely so sure that Brock is the culprit that he himself begins to believe it. And I think there were some unfortunate real life parallels that could have been drawn there where that absolutely happens and people's lives are ruined over it. So
this episode could have ended with Brock in jail.
Brock could have gone to jail. He could have gone to jail for a long, long time.
And Togepeak would smile and chirp about it.
Ruining somebody's life. How serious do you think, like, is it kind of like the Wild West where if you stole somebody's horse, you could kill that person? Like, how serious of a crime is egg thievery in Pokemon?
Do not ask me about the legalities of the Pokemon universe. I do not know.
Yeah, okay. I think that's it.
Ready to count me down for the mystery of what this egg actually is?
All right, Austin, this is Hatching a Plan. On my mark, 3, 2, 1, go.
The egg hatches and is an adorable baby Dawn fan, by which I mean a Phanpy. And Phanpy is delighted to be alive and likes to play fetch with the Pokeball or whatever tag. And it gets shocked by Pikachu and Team Rocket attacks. And so it runs away in terror. And then it joins Team Rocket, but they keep it in a cage. So it and Pikachu escape. And it nearly drowns. And in the end, it battles off Team Rocket and joins Ash's party.
Time.
Not my best summary.
Oh my god, timer. Stop. Please stop.
No. Okay. Time for the rest of time.
Time for the rest of time? Time, I guess you're after right. Time. Every time I think of time, I always remember, don't hug me, I'm scared.
There's a time and a place.
Okay, so Hatching a Plan, this episode, this was a good one, I think.
It was?
Eh, it wasn't the worst.
It wasn't the worst, but I wasn't, like, thrilled by it.
I was thrilled, not really.
Okay, great.
Okay, so Ash and friends are sitting around the campfire when all of a sudden a light begins to emerge from the backpack. And Ash is like, oh, what's happening? And Brock's like, well, very obviously, it's a sign that it's going to hatch. So Ash begins to panic because that's what he does in crisis situations, panics. Even though we've already witnessed Togepi's hatching, so I feel like this isn't new to them. But I guess this is Ash's personal responsibility. And we know he's not very good with personal responsibility.
He's no Spider-Man.
No, he's not. Meanwhile, Team Rocket is spying from the bushes, as they do, and are plotting a plan to steal the egg again. So I guess the twerps wait up all night because now it's the next day and into the next morning, and the egg finally hatches. All right, and this, I'm gonna be real with you guys. I'm gonna fuck this name up. I can never pronounce Phanpy. Phanpy? I'm gonna say Phanpy because that's just what comes out.
I'm going to correct you every single time.
Please do.
Okay.
This is very difficult. Phanpy. Did I do it right?
It's not. I don't quite understand the name.
Phanpy.
I know fan like elephant. Elephant.
P. Where's the P come from?
I do not know.
Austin, quick. To Bulbapedia.
No. You can't go one episode without Bulbapedia.
You brought it up.
Bulbapedia is going to be like the P comes from urination.
Ew. All right, let's find out. I feel like it's a running gag at this point. We got to see what kind of ridiculous explanation we get. Okay, name origin. Phanpy may be derived from elephant and possibly infant or the diminutive suffix e, which is just a Y.
What?
What? What's the diminutive suffix E? What does that mean?
Elephant with a Y at the end is what they're saying.
Elephanty?
Elephant? Like infant? I don't think it's infant. I don't think it's infant elephant.
Fan. But infant. Infant. Infant.
But it's not infant.
Where's the P? Bulbapedia? Jesus Christ. Okay, we will never know.
Well, let's never look at Bulbapedia ever again.
That was a disappointment. I don't know what I expected. Okay.
I don't either.
Anyway, questions. We don't have answers. So Fan P hatches from the egg. And while Misty and Brock are like, oh my gosh, what an adorable little cute creature you are. How are you? Welcome to the world. Ash doesn't give a fucking shit about anything but catching it. He doesn't even remark on how cute it is, or he's not like, hello, Fan P, I'm Ash. Nice to meet you. I'm going to be your trainer. Oh my God, welcome to the world. All he cares about is catching the Fan P. He doesn't introduce himself or whatever.
Fan P.
What did I say?
Fan P.
Fan P. He freaks out. He's like, oh my God, I got to catch this thing. How do I catch it? Oh my God. And Brock reminds him that there's a Pokeball on the top that Mr. Shelby made sure to include so that Ash can catch the Pokemon. Because as we know, Pokemon, I guess, that hatch are unclaimed. They're wild, for lack of a better term. So we got to catch them.
Pokeball mechanics.
Love Pokeball mechanics. Fan P doesn't play by the rules. And
oh,
you know
and,
what?
And neither does the Pokeball.
And neither does the Pokeball.
Because the Pokeball already has the red beam to recall Fan P, despite yes. never having been in the Pokeball before.
Okay, so yes, this is an error, presumably, because having never been caught, we assume Fan P is a wild Pokemon. So you would have to throw the Pokeball at the Fan P and say, Pokeball, go. And then it would catch, wiggle three times, and then stars, boom, and then you catch the Fan P. But this obviously it doesn't happen because Ash is like, okay, Fan P, return. So already caught or assigned to this Pokeball, I guess.
We're going to pay attention to that with future eggs in the series.
When's the next egg that we get? I think it's Ash again, but...
Is it?
I think so.
Oh, it's Maze Eevee.
No, we get Larvitar.
Oh, but Larvitar doesn't get captured in a ball.
Oh, okay.
Spoilers!
Okay, I don't remember enough. Apparently, don't listen to me. This Fan P starts... you know, screwing around. It's just a little baby, though. It doesn't understand, and Ash keeps getting frustrated, and then he starts to yell at it. This literal newborn who has no understanding of anything other than, like, I'm happy to be here, and I'm just playing around.
God damn it, Ash.
I know. He's so insensitive. I hate this. Not the best Ash episode. He clearly doesn't know how to interact with small and young Pokemon.
Well, he wasn't annoyed. He was, like, angry.
I know. He was, like, yelling at it. He's like, okay, Fanfy, stop fucking around. I'm like, maybe if you had, like, been nice to it from the get-go, maybe if you had said, like, hello, Fan P, welcome to the world, and all this, it would have a little bit more respect for him off the bat, but he just starts yelling at it, so I really don't blame Fan P for acting the way it does. Fan P is running around, and Brock's like, okay, maybe we can get it to calm down and stand still long enough by giving it treats, so why don't you try to ply it with some of these delicious treats? But they're interrupted by Team Rocket, who hatch out of giant eggs because they're Team Rocket and they're extra. And they hit Ash where it hurts because they start taunting him on his inability to catch a newly hatched Pokemon. So this baits Ash into a rage and he starts to use Pikachu. But unfortunately, just as he instructs Pikachu to use Thunderbolt, Team Rocket grabs the Fan P with like a metal arm. And when the Thunderbolt hits the arm, it passes the current directly into Fan P.
As you said the word Thunderbolt, there was a huge thunder.
I know, I just heard it. I hope it gets caught on the mic. I don't
Me
know.
Me too.
It's Pikachu. Everybody run.
Pikachu will gladly kill us all on a lightning strike.
He was about to in the previous episode, and he didn't have any qualms about it. So obviously, Pikachu is just horrified by this. Poor Fan P, even though it's a ground type, I'm guessing because it's a baby, maybe it's just more susceptible to getting hurt by electric attacks. I really don't know.
Yeah, you'd think Brock would say something like, well, he kind of did, but you'd think he'd be more clear. Like, it's a ground type. But because it was touching that metal rod, was, you know, directly shocked when it normally wouldn't have been, or something like that.
Yeah, maybe we could have got some kind of, like, explanation as to how this could have happened. Like, maybe there was just a caveat, like you said. It was a direct passing into its body by the metal arm instead of just getting hit by the move itself. Or again, it could have just been the fact that it's a baby and it hasn't built up its, you know, tolerance for pain yet.
Or it's not even pain, it's just, like, electric current going through it. And it's like, wah! It's, like, panicking.
Yeah, maybe it's just surprised.
It's not in pain.
You know how little kids do. You know how they're not really hurt, but if they fall down, they start crying because they're just shocked by what just happened. It's more of a surprise than anything. So this surprises Phanpy enough, and it runs off into the bushes, and Pikachu spirals into a depression because it cannot believe that it was responsible for hurting a poor little baby. So they try to locate it. They wander the woods for a while, but they can't find the Phanpy. It's gone. But meanwhile, Team Rocket is toasting some toast on their little stove, and Phanpy gets a whiff and comes along and starts stealing the toast. Team Rocket decides to, and I guess this is where I always get confused with Team Rocket, because I don't know if this is, again, back to the air with the Pokeball mechanics of technically it appears that Phanpy was already caught. Because I was thinking the whole time to myself, why doesn't Team Rocket just try to catch the damn thing? They never seem to have an extra Pokeball on hand, so they didn't even try, but they do put it in a cage with Pikachu. They're both in the same cage, and they manage to get away by rolling themselves down a hill and smashing the cage open on a tree. Phanpy and Pikachu are unharmed. They end up, I think this is where Phanpy gets reunited with the twerps. Did I miss anything, or?
They get in the river.
Well, they're on their way back, I think. They're trying to get back, but they become interrupted when they come across a raging river, because no episode is complete without raging river plus waterfall.
When they fell into that water, I knew a waterfall was right there.
Well, you should have known based on the riptide current that was, like, traveling through.
The moment someone steps into a body of water, it immediately turns into a waterfall. It, like, seismically shifts.
Yep.
20 feet away.
It's like when you're playing a video game and, like the draw distance hasn't gone all the way yet. You have to walk a little farther and then the thing appears.
Yep.
It's like they walked and then the waterfall appeared.
They're actually in the Mystery Dungeon universe and the map is spawning in front of them.
It's randomly generated.
Yeah.
Team Rocket reappears dressed as Speed Racer characters.
They look good.
They did look good. Meowth doesn't have the Speed Racer costume on because instead he's painted a Phanpy face on his ass.
I hated that.
Oh, you hated that.
Hated that.
Yeah, his tail playing the part of the Phanpy trunk.
Where the mouth should be is where his asshole is.
He wags his tail and shakes his ass in Phanpy's face because he's like, come play with my tail.
There was some good continuity.
Which was what?
James mentioned the Snubbull.
Oh, right.
That liked Meowth's tail.
Because Phanpy was more interested in Meowth's tail than the food that they tried to like lure it with. And James does remark on the Snubbull and how enticing Meowth's tail seems to be.
Just a little trivia for you.
Do we ever see Snubbull again? Or actually, it's Granbull now. But
nope.
Okay. So sad.
That's why I'm surprised they mentioned it.
It's more than we get sometimes. Anyway, so like we were saying, they end up at this rushing river and they try to make it across. They try to jump across the rocks, but slip and fall. And so Pikachu is hanging onto the rock. Phanpy's hanging onto Pikachu and ends up being too much. While Ash is trying to position himself in the tree limb that's conveniently hanging over where Pikachu and Phanpy are, he manages to run over there with a rope with a rock tied to it that he just happens to have in his bag, suspend himself off of the branch, and he manages to grab Pikachu, but unfortunately, Phanpy isn't strong enough and slips. So Phanpy rushes away in the water.
I'm supposed to be correcting you. Phanpy.
Phanpy. Is that not what I've been saying? Oh my god, I've been trying so
hard. I hear Phanpy.
Phanpy. Phanpy. I'm trying. It's very hard. My mouth, it's like I have cotton balls in it. It doesn't work.
I wouldn't know what that's like at all. I always enunciate entirely perfectly.
Absolutely.
And I never get much mouth ever in my life. Not once on this podcast have I slurred my words or been hard to understand.
Never.
Just kidding. I'm impossible to decipher. See, like that. What did I just say? What did I just fucking say? I'm impossible, to decipher. I talk too fast.
Okay, I'm going to make a conscientious effort. Phanpy. Austin always complains that I go too much in the podcast, so.
Well, it's not your fault. That's part of our language. It's just the way our audio technology works is that when we say puh, it pops.
That's true.
It's not our fault. I know, I hear it too.
Big thunder. Okay.
Big thunder railroad mountain.
Phanpy is thundering to its doom over the waterfall.
And nah.
Ash heroically dives into the current and races towards Phanpy and manages to grab it by its nose, I think.
That sounds painful.
Can I just stop and say, this poor creature, born into this horrible life, all it's known is
nothing but
misery and pain. And
fear.
I felt so terrible for this poor Phanpy. I don't know. My heart just went out to it. I'm like, it knew from the first hour of its birth. It was shocked. It was scared. It ran away. It was kidnapped. It was put in a cage. It was chased. It fell into a river. It almost died. Like,
fell off a waterfall.
Ash grabs it by its very sensitive nose. Oh, thank God, this poor creature. If Mr. Shelby knew the truth, I don't think he would have given Ash this egg.
Yeah, this Fanpy could have had a nice life in Exeter, just sitting around, watching people skateboard.
He could have lived a life of leisure on the farm, but instead it was caught up in this hell. That's what happens when you become a twerp, or you're forced into becoming a twerp.
Unless you're goddamn Togepi.
Togepi's the catalyst of all this.
Let's finish the episode, then I'll talk about Togepi.
All right, yeah, because you said in a roundabout way, and I didn't catch it, but hopefully you can expand on that. So Ash catches it by the nose, almost rips its nose off, but manages to save it, and the day is saved. And ever insensitive, Ash makes Fampy. Oh, this chaos isn't even over. So all that happened, but now we have Team Rocket to deal with. So not only did Fampy just get saved from certain death, now he has to get forced into a battle. This little baby newborn, Ash is like, go, Fampy. Attack Weezing and Arbok. And Team Rocket gets blasted off again.
Good for baby Fampy.
I just feel bad. I mean, forced into,
fighting off these adult Pokemon.
Right?
I mean, it had a type advantage, I think, but still.
Yeah, against poison, but still, like, at least let it catch its damn breath after almost dying and getting dashed on those rocks at the bottom of the waterfall. Anyway, we're all happy and everything's wonderful now because we have a new twerp Pokemon that we can boss around. And not once does Ash apologize, or at least if he did, I completely, like, blocked it out. So
I'm sure he did not. It's
I'm
Ash.
Sure he did not. And that's it. Now we have Fanpy.
Okay, so Fanpy is literally an hour old. It is running around, it is battling, it is using moves, it's jumping and frolicking and facing mortal peril. Togepi has been alive for 4 years. And Togepi can use moves, but no one expects it to. Togepi could very easily be competent, act like, you know, a regular-ass Pokemon if it wanted to.
This is such a good point.
Misty coddles it. She doesn't expect it to do anything. It's weird. It's getting weird at this point because it's acting like a baby when I'm like, you're not a baby anymore. Like,
like, you know,
probably
what?
Like Cyndaquil is younger than Togepi, right? Like, yes. I would assume so.
Yes. This is such a good point to make, Austin. I really didn't consider this until you said that, but it is weird. The fact that it's, like, stuck in this perpetual baby situation. But I think that this is a complete failing on Misty's part. Like, she should be saying to it, okay, get out there and pull your weight.
I know she tried early on, but she seemingly has given up.
Well, maybe we do know the reason for that. It's manipulating her mind.
It's leeching off her happiness or whatever it does.
It does. I think it's, like, got her fingers in Misty's brain.
Yeah. And, like, I get you could say, like, Togepi exists in a perpetual baby state. Because that's just the nature of a Togepi.
Mm.
But, like, we know that's not true. This Togepi, if it really wanted to,
it could step up.
Yeah, it could. But it doesn't want to.
No, because it's living the life of Riley, you know? It's like, okay, it gets everything handed to it. And it has no incentive to work.
It's trying to kill Fampy. It's like,
it's tried to kill the twerps. It's tried to sow chaos in its wake everywhere it goes. I mean,
it tortured that Houndoom that one time.
Oh my god, the poor Houndoom. I forgot about that. Togepi's a terrible Pokemon.
I'll never forget the time it wanted the Houndoom to take care of it, and the Houndoom was like, no. So Togepi, off-screen, seemingly, teleported in a Pokemon to attack it, so Houndoom would have no choice but to defend it.
Please see the episode where we discuss, I can't remember the name of it, but it's the Houndoom episode with Togepi.
Houndoom Special Delivery.
Thank you. And we go into extensive detail on how manipulative and terrible Togepi is.
And Togepi and that Houndoom see a Raikou.
Oh yes, Raikou, who doesn't get its own movie. Except
does
for Legend
it?
Of Thunder.
Kind of.
It doesn't get a movie in the same way that Entei gets a movie.
Okay, fair enough. Technically, Entei did not even get that movie. That wasn't an Entei.
That's true. It was a dream Entei.
All right, I've actually you enough.
Yeah, so actually, Togepi is a manipulative little shit. Fampy is scarred for life and carries trauma now for the rest of eternity. The end.
MVP, LVP, end quote.
Who's going first?
Okay, I'm going first.
Again, ugh.
My MVP will be, I'm just going to give it to Fampy because I feel sorry for it.
Oh, poor thing.
It powered through. Nevertheless, he persisted. My LVP is going to be Ash because I'm just going to take it from you.
I knew. Well, is it? Can we just collectively say Ash? Because I feel like he was so horrible in this episode.
Do you have another LVP possibility?
Yes, actually I do. Yeah, how did you know?
That was disturbing. Okay, my quote.
Ooh, that thunder. I'm hoping that my power stays on.
Okay, I have a long quote from Meowth, actually.
Go for it.
This is when he's serving toast to Jesse and James. He says, "Don't ask Rai, but I'd like to propose a toast. Because there's nothing like food to improve your mood. And a little whole wheat can't just be..." And then he bites his hand because Stampy steals the bread.
Yeah.
"Just can't be... bait! My toast is toast!"
Okay, my LVP... You know what? No, I'm going to save it. My MVP is going to be... Brock?
Brock?
I don't know. Honestly, I'm struggling. Brock, because I guess it was his idea to calm Fampy down with treats.
Okay.
He did something. I think that Brock, it's really a conditional MVP because I feel like he could have done a little more to tell Ash, like, no, Ash, like, this is a baby. This is, you're going about this the wrong way. But at least he does something.
You know who deserved an MVP last episode that we did not give it to?
Who?
Misty.
Oh, for trying to course correct?
Yeah.
She gets honorary MVP.
She gets honorary MVP. She deserves it.
I don't even remember who I said, and we just talked.
I don't either.
Oh, play the tape back. Okay. Once we do an episode, it's gone from my mind.
It's gone from my mind, too, and then I edit it, and then it's, like, ingrained in my mind, because I have to listen to it, like, several times.
Yeah, it's ingrained until the next episode, and then you
Overwrite
it, but... Honestly, I feel like Brock should have got the Fampy. This seems like more of a Brock Pokemon, does it not?
Yeah, but then we would never see it.
That's true.
How's Pineco doing?
I wouldn't know.
I haven't either. Seen it.
We don't see Timothy the Crobat very often, and we
I feel like we see Timothy all the time these days.
We could see it more.
We could see it more, but I feel like it's a pretty frequent appearance.
I'd rather see Timothy over Noctowl.
Wow.
So, sorry not sorry.
I like both of them.
I'm really upset still. I'm still a little bitter over the Noctowl episode that we just had because we did not even get to see Noctowl very much. It was more of a Wings Alexander and his, like, death trap machine.
Oh my god, the thunder's getting really close.
I know. Okay, let's wrap it up before my power goes out and your power goes out. Okay, so MVP Brock. LVP is Meowth's ass.
Not Meowth, Meowth's ass. And,
I guess Meowth by extension because I guess that was his idea to paint a Fampy face on his ass.
I'm going to give it a double LVP for Meowth and Meowth's ass.
Yes, please. I think they're both equally terrible for allowing this to happen. It was disturbing. I really don't know why this was even an idea. My quote is going to be from Team Rocket, and this is when Pikachu and Fampy are escaping from the cage by rolling down the hill, and Meowth says, "And that's not all, they're making a run for it." And Jesse says, "What are you saying?" And James says, "Oh, that they're making a run for it." And Jesse says, "Yeah, I heard that." And James says, "You asked."
That was very good.
That was so good.
I'm currently watching Home Movies, like the Adult Swim cartoon.
Oh, shit.
And it very much reminded me of that.
I didn't even... Oh, my God. It's been 1,000 years since I thought of that show. All I remember is, like, the P.E. coach or whatever.
Right. McGurk. It's McGurk. A forgotten classic, I think.
What is the other, like, Adult Swim forgotten classics?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you.
It said bygone era. Anyway. Oh, my God. Okay.
Okay. Thunder. So, okay. Next time.
Yeah, next time. What's on
that thunder is appropriate because next week we're watching The Legend of Thunder.
Oh my god, the mood. We're setting the mood.
Oh yes, we are. Too bad this isn't happening next week.
Damn.
I don't know, maybe it will. We're going to take a break from the twerps and it's going to be some random other people.
Hooray.
It's aired in Japan as a TV movie, a la that Mewtwo Returns movie we saw.
Mm-hmm.
And it was dubbed as the first 3 episodes of Pokemon Chronicles. As The Legend of Thunder Parts 1, 2, and 3. But if you look online, it's easier to find the compilation Legend of Thunder.
Sure.
So we'll probably watch that version. Because that was released on DVD in at least Europe.
Gotcha.
Maybe Australia? I don't know.
I may be mistaken. Am I completely misremembering that this is, like, Jimmy and Marina and...
This them? Is Jimmy and Marina.
And who else? Wasn't there, like, a third kid?
Yeah, there's, like, an OC.
I did remember something. Oh, my God. I'm so proud of me. My brain isn't completely fried. Do we have any final thoughts before we shelter from the storm?
Nope.
Well, with that, I will close us out. And of course, we want to say thank you all for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always email us at outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, that is outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or follow us over on Twitter, aka X, at outofdryingpan. Again, that is @outofdryingpan. We also have an Instagram at Out of the Drying Pan, so you can check out some stuff over there. And if you like what we do and want to support us, we encourage you to go to our Patreon link. You can find that in the description of the podcast. We got some really awesome bonus stuff for our subscribers, like notes and bonus episodes and outtakes and all kinds of fun things. So go check us out over there. And we just want to say thank you again for listening, and we'll catch you next week as the journey continues.